Okay, once again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 119. Read verses 153 through 160. Again, each of these stanzas is promoting, exalting the Word of God, and much, of course, is repeated throughout the psalm, and which only stresses its importance. But in verse 153, the psalmist says, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. My word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Again, as in all these stanzas throughout the entire 119th Psalm, the psalmist is experiencing trouble from his enemies. They are intent on causing him harm. They are intent on destroying his life. And many times, of course, this became an irritation to the psalmist. It became quite a nuisance to him, and no doubt caused him much difficulty, caused him some stress in his life, and caused him some agitation, no doubt caused him much grief and much misery and an awful lot of inconvenience. And throughout the 119th Psalm, we are reminded that, again, the Christian life is a life of hills and valleys, and it's not always smooth sailing, and people are not always going to do what they're supposed to do, and people are not always going to treat us fairly. Many times they may treat us unjustly, but in this stanza, as in the others, the psalmist is again seeing, feeling the persecution of his enemies. He stresses the personal aspect of his suffering. In verse 153, he mentions mine affliction. This is personal affliction. In both verses 153 and 154, he says, "Deliver me." Again, it's personal. He refers to my cause there in verse 154. All through the psalm, we see that his suffering is very real. His suffering is very personal. In verse 157, he refers to my persecutors, mine enemies. And so we see it was a time of personal suffering. It was a time of personal stress. It was a time where he personally many times felt helpless, and he was, of course, hated. He goes on also, and he speaks of the character and the activity of his enemies. In verse 155, he refers to them as wicked. Salvation is far from the wicked. So they're wicked. But not only that, they are non-desirous of God, for they seek not thy statutes. So as these people are persecuting the psalmist, as they are mistreating him, he begins to focus on their character. He says, they're wicked. And they have no inclination. They have no desire for God. They have no desire for the things of God. He speaks of their hatred and malice. He does this by referring to them as persecutors and enemies in verse 157. Again, if someone persecutes you, you can mark it down, they hate you. There's malice in their heart. And so when he speaks of his persecutors and enemies, he's speaking of their hatred. He's speaking of their malice. He also refers to them as rebels. They were individuals who had transgressed the laws of God. He says in verse 158, I beheld the transgressors. So they are rebellious in their character and in their activity. In other words, they were disobedient to the word of God. They were disobedient to the laws of God. He also said in verse 158 that they keep, because they kept not thy word. But what's interesting is, first of all, that he considered their character. Because many times if we are being persecuted, if we are being mistreated, the only thing we're thinking about is how bad I feel, how miserable I am. But the psalmist began to focus upon, or began to consider, their character. And in doing so, this caused him sadness. In verse 158, he says, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. He doesn't say I was grieved because of what they've done to me, but I am grieved because of their character. I am grieved because they do not know God, because they are rebels against the Lord. You know, what grieves us really says a lot about who we are. It really does. It says a lot about where our priorities are. If our priorities are on self, or if our priorities are upon God, if our priorities are, do we consider the sad state of affairs of the wicked? Because if you think about it, no matter how unjustly, no matter how unfairly the wicked may treat us, and no matter how badly they may make us feel, and no matter how much inconvenience they may cause us, I'm far better off than they are. And that, of course, is all due to the grace of God. We ought to have some pity. We ought to have some sorrow and some grief over the fact that these are wicked people that care nothing about God and have no inclination toward God. So here we have the psalmist. He's being persecuted. He's being treated unjustly as far as man is concerned. He's suffering greatly. He's had many inconveniences in his life. He considers the character of those who are doing this, and he's immediately burdened for them. It causes him some grief. But in the midst of all of this, you have to take care of your own spiritual condition. This is where so many fail. In the midst of affliction, in the midst of persecution, whatever shape the affliction takes, whatever form it comes in, the key thing is we have to be right with God. We have to stay right with God, no matter what else is happening. We have to draw near to God. We have to take care of ourselves spiritually. That's imperative. And we see this throughout the entire 119th Psalm. that the psalmist took the time to do this. And in verse 153, we see again he draws near to God in prayer. Draws near to God in prayer. The best advice for anyone who is suffering, and really the best advice no matter what's going on in your life, is you get as close to God as you can possibly get. That's the best thing that you can do. No matter what anyone else is doing, no matter what is going on, you draw as close to God as you can. Now, I don't have any qualms about telling someone that you need to just draw as close to God as you can. And as soon as you say that to most people, they are offended. You're judging me. No, I'm telling you what will work best. Draw as close to God as you possibly can. No matter what is going on, that's always good advice. And this is what the psalmist is doing. And he draws close to God in prayer. And again, anytime we truly pray, we're drawing closer to God. And he says, consider mine affliction. He is saying, look upon me with thoughtfulness. Give attention to my situation. And then in verse 153 and verse 154, he twice prayed that God would deliver him. It is that God would spare him. That God would save him. But he also prayed that God would act as an advocate for him. In verse 154, he says, plead my cause. Plead my cause. He's praying that God would be an advocate for him. You have no better advocate than the Lord. Human nature is to go out, if we're mistreated by somebody, human nature is to go out and get as many people on our side as we possibly can. But you don't need to do that. Because the best advocate you can have is God. And you get close to God, you draw as close as you can to God, you make sure you're right with God, you make sure you're where you ought to be. And then you just say, Lord, I leave my cause with you. I ask you to plead my cause. And then three times, while all this is going on, three times the psalmist prayed for personal renewal, for personal revival in verse 154, in verse 156, and in verse 159. He prayed, quicken me. And we see this all through the 119th Psalm. Adverse circumstances. Circumstances that really were not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong to bring these circumstances upon him. But they're there. And he just prays over and over and over and over again, Lord, revive me. That tells me a lot of things. One thing it tells us is that there were times during this time of affliction that the psalmist perhaps began to slip, began to withdraw from God, but as soon as he felt that happening, he prayed, Lord, revive me. We need to do that. As soon as we feel the slightest departure from God in our mind, and that's where it begins, we depart in our mind long before we depart physically. As soon as we feel that departure beginning, that's when we need to pray, Lord, you need to revive me right now. You need to quicken me. That's taking care of our spiritual condition. So he's mentioned the character of his enemies. But if that's all you can, and he draws near to God in prayer, but if all you concentrate on is the character of your enemies, you'll get depressed. But he also concentrated on the character of God. And as he prayed, he was reminded of the character of God. And in verse 156, he said, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Yes, the enemy is wicked. But I pray to God that is going to be merciful to me. So he's pleading the character of God. He also mentions the loving kindness of God in Psalm 159. So throughout this adverse circumstance, and you see it throughout the 119th Psalm, the psalmist is very aware of the character of God. He's very aware of who God is. He's very aware that this God is near. And as we see throughout the 119th Psalm, we see it again in this stanza, during this time of adverse circumstances, he kept God's word upon his mind. He kept God's word upon his mind. In the midst of affliction, in verse 153, he says, "For I do not forget thy law." Our memories are short. How soon we forget. How soon we forget the goodness of God to us. How soon we forget the blessings of God. How soon we forget what God's word says. But the psalmist attempted never to forget what God's word says. And in the midst of adverse circumstances, we need to remember. We need to remember God's word. In the midst of affliction, in the midst of the behavior of the enemy, do not let that, do not let any circumstance, do not let any behavior of anyone else cause you to be unmindful and neglectful of the word of God. The psalmist said, "I don't forget thy word. I don't forget it." He also sought God's word in verse 155. He says, "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." The implication being, they don't seek you, they don't seek God's word, but I do. But I do. And in the hour of affliction or whatever anyone else is doing, seek God's word. Just seek the word of God. We see also that he held to God's word. In verse 157, he says, "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet, nevertheless, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of what other people do, do I not decline from thy statutes." In other words, I have embraced the word of God, and I'm not letting go of it. No matter what they do, I have embraced God's word. And I have no intention of stepping back from it. I have no intention of declining from it, is what the psalmist is saying. In other words, his love and his desire for God's word was not diminished by his circumstances. You can't, or you can, but it's not so. You cannot use circumstances as a reason why you have declined from God's word. Because the truth is, no matter what the circumstances are, you are to seek God's word. No matter what anyone else does, you are to seek God's word. Your love, your desire for God's word is not to be diminished by adverse circumstances or by good circumstances. And your love and desire for God's word is not to be diminished by the ungodly behavior of the enemy. So during this time, without wavering, he held to God's word. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And again, just as Brother Mark was saying, if you do this, that's no great thing. It's what you're supposed to do. This is reasonable service. This is what a child of God is supposed to do. We see also that in the midst of all of this, he loved God's word. He said in verse 159, he said, I love thy precepts. Nothing could diminish his love for the word of God. We see also that he maintained conviction concerning the word of God. He said in verse 160, thy word is true. Yes, the persecutors and the enemies, they're wicked. They've done wrong. They've caused much inconvenience in my life. But that doesn't change this fact. Thy word is true. Thy word is true from the beginning and endureth forever. He believed that. He was persuaded of that. He was convicted of that. That was his position. His position is God's word is true. And no matter what the circumstances, that ought to be our conviction. God's word is true. No matter what anyone else does, God's word is true. No matter how we feel, God's word is true. So, in the midst of what would be considered discouraging circumstances by many, the psalmist continued to look to God in prayer. He just kept on praying, continued to have a right attitude toward those who were mistreating him, and he continued to have a right attitude toward God. He continued to have a right attitude toward the Word of God. And as a result of all of that, he was able to make a precise assessment of the situation. The truth is that unless you are close to God, you're incapable of making a precise assessment. And many times you make a wrong assessment because of where you are with God. And then all that does is just add to your misery and sorrow. But he made a precise assessment when he said, salvation is far from the wicked. That's very true. He wasn't envying them at this point, because he was able to make a precise assessment. He also saw things in their proper perspective. When he said, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. That's a proper perspective. You view everything in that perspective, things tend to change. Makes you change. But not only did he view everything in that perspective of great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, but again in verse 160, thy word is true. Endureth forever. And when we begin to view things in the light of God's mercies, and we begin to view things in the light of the fact that God's word is true, and it will forever be so, and God's word forever continues, again, that changes our whole view of everything. But the way we get there is, again, we have to be close to God. We have to draw close to God in prayer. We have to stay in God's word. These things are absolutely necessary if we are going to perceive things correctly, if we are going to behave correctly under adverse circumstances. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we